sports. Oh, not bad. Okay. I don't really watch the sports for the sport itself. I like to watch it for the drama. And I've always noticed, you know, sports, there's a lot of trash talking involved in sports. There's always been a lot of cocky athletes that just, you know, they love showing off, or they love to run their mouth, right? That's just sports, okay? Okay, this here is Muhammad Ali, okay? And do you know what his famous catchphrase is? His famous phrase he always said is like, "I am the greatest," right? I mean, he was a great fighter, but he was an even greater trash talker. "I am the greatest," like every time, like, you know, he would down someone. "I am the greatest, no one can touch me," right? It's trash talk, trash talk. Here is our very own Richard Sherman, a big trash talker. Back in the 2014 playoffs, he got a lot of media coverage for his interception and subsequent trash talk against the 49ers wide receiver, Crabtree, Michael Crabtree. And you may have heard it. It was all over the news and all over the media at the time. And he said these words. He said, "I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get," right? Because he had just gotten an interception. So he's trash talking, right? Trash talking Crabtree. Lastly, we have the unbeatable Usain Bolt. He's famous for his showboating and his trash talking, right? Like in the Beijing Olympics, I think he like slowed down just to kind of to show off, and he could have even gone even faster and set an even faster record, but he was just showing off. He was like, yeah. And here he's got his smile, right? He's just beating everybody, and he's trash talking, just showing everybody what he's all about and that he's faster and everything. So like I said, a lot of athletes, they trash talk. It's just part of the game. But what does it take to actually back up some of those claims of, "I am the greatest, you know, I'm the fastest man alive"? What does it take to back up some of those claims? When is it all bark and no bite versus someone who really has the goods, someone who really can do what they say? Today's passage is in James chapter 2. If you turn in your Bibles there with me, James chapter 2, it's the second half of chapter 2, verses 14 to 26. And in this passage, it talks about two different kinds of believers: those who talk the talk, the trash talkers, and those who walk the walk, right? Those who can actually do this thing. Okay, so while you're turning your Bibles, okay, let's pray. Father, this morning, I pray that you would speak to us. Help us to reflect on our own lives and our own faith, whether or not we're just all talk, or whether or not we're really running the race, whether or not we're really walking the walk, Lord. Reveal to us through your word what is a true and living faith. Do we have a true and living faith? Or is our faith dead and worthless? So thank you, God, for your word. I pray that you would use this passage, use this text to speak to us, Lord, this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so James chapter 2, verse 14. "What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, be warmed and filled,' without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, 'You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one. You do well. Even the demons believe and shudder.'" So that's the first section from today's passage. Faith and works, that's what we're talking about today. You know, we evangelicals, right? We're evangelicals. We believe in the gospel, the euangelion, the gospel, right? We have been drilled into believing that we're saved by faith alone, right? And it's Christ alone, right? We just sang that, Christ alone, faith alone, right? Works can never get us into heaven, right? Works can never earn us righteousness. That would be religion, like the Pharisees had. No, we are people of faith, faith alone. That's us. That's evangelicals. Faith alone. Works has almost become a bad word in the evangelical church. Everyone, anytime someone talks about good works, right, we become suspicious of their gospel. We become suspicious of their salvation. Good works? Good works? Ooh, right? No, we are about faith alone, Christ alone, the cross alone, faith alone, right? And indeed, it is true, we are saved by faith alone. But today's passage wants to teach us and wants us to realize what kind of faith. We are saved by faith alone, but not a faith that is alone. Okay, we are saved by faith alone, but not a faith that is alone. James is not trying to contradict our gospel. He's not trying to contradict Paul's writings. He's actually trying to elaborate and illustrate, right, what true faith, saving faith, looks like. And in doing so, he tells us this morning that there is a kind of phony faith, a faith that is all talk, a faith that believes the right things and intellectually and dogmatically, a faith that says the right things, you know, biblically and theologically, but a faith that is still just, it's just all words, it's all talk. A faith that doesn't change a person's heart and affections and actions practically. James says this is a phony kind of faith. And James, he calls this faith worthless. This is a worthless faith, a dead faith, a self-deluded faith, you know, thinking, we are the greatest, you know. I am the greatest, you know. I am saved, right? You could be self-deluded when in actuality you are not. Okay. In verse 15 it says, if a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warm and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So he's talking about empathy that is worthless. What good is that? It's useless. It's worthless. It doesn't actually help anybody. It doesn't actually get you anywhere, right? It doesn't actually do anything. It's just trash talk. It's worthless, right? There's no risk in just talking about stuff. It doesn't cost us anything to just talk about stuff. I mean, if you see a need in the church, or a member in pain, and you just say, oh, yeah, God will take care of you. I'll pray for you. Right? That's easy to do. Anybody can do that. It doesn't cost us anything. We don't risk anything but just saying, oh, God will take care of you. I'll pray for you. And you know what? We do that all the time, don't we? God will take care of you. Yeah, it's going to be okay. I'll pray for you. Now, encouragement is good. We ought to encourage one another. Prayer is good. We have to pray for one another, right? That is a necessary thing, right? But actually doing something practically to help one another, that's the next step. Right? That's the next step. That is the necessary step. That is the Christ-like thing to do. Imagine if Jesus just walked on by, you know, the hundreds of blind and sick and lame. Jesus just walked on by and he said, oh, I'll pray for you. You'll be okay. I'll pray for you. Imagine if Jesus passed on by the demon-possessed and or the hungry. You'll be okay. I'll pray for you. Imagine if Jesus looked up at the cross and then the sins of the world, and he said, you'll be fine. I'll pray for you, right? That's not our Jesus. That's not our Lord. That's not our God. No, Jesus was a man who lived out his faith both in word and in deed, right? He preached a lot. Yeah, he did. He preached a lot, but he also lived a lot. He also did a lot, right? He also did a lot of good works. Word and deed. He talked the talk and he walked the walk. That is a true living faith. The opposite of that, what James is warning us against this morning is just trash talk, right? You can throw it in the trash because it's worthless now, right? It's useless. It's garbage. It's trash talk, right? Empty words. It's just knowledge without action. It's just intellectual assent without obedience. And he tells us this kind of faith cannot save us. Verse 20, do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? You see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. So here, of course, is the famous story of the father of faith. This is the father of faith, Abraham, right? Who sacrificed his son because God told him to. Now, James uses this as an illustration of a living faith as opposed to the previous mentioned dead faith, the worthless faith, the trash talk kind of faith. Abraham's faith was shown by his sacrifice. And the scripture tells us, you know, his faith and his works were active together, right? His works completed his faith in some sense, right? The goal of faith is to produce good works. Again, Abraham's sacrifice, his work, it didn't bring him into a relationship with God. Right? That relationship already existed. It was already established, right? The sacrifice came out of that relationship. It was a response to that trust relationship that he already had with God. And because of Abraham's obedience, he was called a friend of God. In his story, right, we see that real, true, saving, salvific, living faith, it requires sacrifice. Living faith requires sacrifice. We must, in some sense, give up something of ourselves to God. Perhaps we need to give up our dreams and life goals of financial stability, right? To being open to whatever God has in store for us. Perhaps we literally need to give up our money and our food to those in need, right, out of obedience to God's command to love others. Perhaps we need to give up our time, you know, our time that it could be spent binge watching Netflix or something, right? We need to give that up, right, to opening up his word or to spending time in prayer, right? Whatever it may look like for you, to cultivate, not establish, but to cultivate your relationship with God and actively live out your faith. Right? We need to give something up. Right? We need to give something up of ourselves. So that's the first point today, is that living faith is sacrificial. Verse 24. You see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. And in the same way, was not also Rahab the prostitute justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead. So here James again makes his point with another illustration, this time with the example of Rahab, the prostitute. The story of Rahab comes to us in the book of Joshua chapter 2. So in the book of Joshua, right, after the wandering in the wilderness, you know, it's time for the people of Israel to take the promised land. It's time for them to take the promised land, finally. And Joshua, he takes command of the people, and he sends two spies, right, to scout out the land, right, the promised land. And he tells them, okay, especially go and check out this city of Jericho. Okay. He sends two spies to check out the city of Jericho. It's like the big city that they're going to have to take, right? And so these two spies, they go into the city, and they end up staying in a prostitute's house, right? Rahab. Maybe they went there because they knew no one would be looking for them there, right? It's a pretty good place to lay low. But for some reason, for whatever reason, the king of Jericho, okay, the king of Jericho, this city, he heard that there were spies that had entered into his city, and you know, these spies were there to look for the city's weakness and to exploit the city's weakness. And so he sent his men to go and look for these spies, right? Go and find these two spies. And so these spies, they're hiding in Rahab's house. And so Rahab actually hides them on her rooftop. And there's, you know, the men, the you know, the police or whatever, they come in, they're knocking on the doors. Hey, did you see two guys coming in? Two guys, are they hiding out in your place? And Rahab, she lies to the people that are looking for these two spies. Right? And she says, oh, they went a different way. They went that way, right? And they're hiding upstairs on her roof. And then she utters these famous lines. Joshua 2:9. I know that the Lord has given you the land, and that the fear of you has fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land melt away before you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, to Sihon and Og, whom you devoted to destruction. And as soon as we heard it, our hearts melted, and there was no spirit left in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in the heavens above and on the earth beneath. Now then, please swear to me by the Lord that as I have dealt kindly with you, you also will deal kindly with my father's house and give me a sure sign that you will save alive my father and mother, my brothers and sisters, and all who belong to them, and deliver our lives from death. So this is what she tells these two spies, right? And the spies, they say, okay, thank you. You saved our lives. You know, you hit us when these police were looking for us. And so the spies make an oath, right? They tell her, okay, tie a scarlet cord on your window so that when the Israelite army comes and takes the city, right, they're going to see and they're going to know which house is yours. And Rahab and her family, right, are going to be spared. Right? And we've heard this story before, right? It's a favorite for children. This is a story about faith, right? A surprising story, actually, considering that she is a Gentile. Not only a Gentile, she is a prostitute, right? And yet she can have faith. She saw what the Lord did. She heard what the Lord did. And she believed that Yahweh was the true God. And then she acted on it by hiding the spies. Now you got to remember what she's doing here. She's putting her own life at risk, right? By hiding these spies. The king's men, they're looking for these spies, and she's harboring fugitives. She is harboring fugitives. She's committing treason. She's making herself an enemy of the state. But she does this all because of her faith in the one true God. So through her story, we see this morning that living faith, again, we're talking about what does living faith look like? Living faith is courageous. Living faith takes risks, and it goes beyond our comfort zones and our safety nets. How can we have a faith like this, a faith that really trusts in God. I don't propose that you jump off a bridge and just blindly trust that God will save you somehow. Right? That's not courage. Right? That's foolishness. That's lack of wisdom. Right? But for our faith to grow, we must go beyond what we're comfortable with. You know, comfort doesn't require faith. Right? Comfort doesn't build faith. Right? We must have courage. We must try new things as the Lord leads. Right? Maybe, well, what does that look like for you, for me? Maybe you need to strike up a spiritual conversation with your coworkers or your old friends. A spiritual conversation. Right? It's comfortable. It's safe. It's easy to talk about, you know, your work or talk about the weather. Right? But if you try and make a conscious, active effort to steer the conversation to Christ or your relationship with God, you know, that takes courage. That takes courage to do that. But that's faith in action. Maybe courage, a courageous faith for you, maybe you need to give a little more than you feel like you can afford. Right? And just have faith that God will continue to provide for you. Maybe courageous faith for you looks like, you know, maybe you have to step up when opportunities arise in the church to lead or to teach or sign up for evangelical explosion or whatever, right? Be strong and courageous, right? Have faith, you know? Whatever, I don't know what it's going to look like for you. I don't know. But I do know that unless you act on what you've been taught and what God has revealed to you, right, all the faith in the world, all the conviction and all the heartfelt emotion that you feel towards God, right, it's worthless. You can feel and you can believe all you want, but if you don't actually do anything with that, it's worthless, right? James says, what good is that? What good is that? Right? It's just trash talk, you know? The type of faith that is all talk and no walk. It's all words and no deeds, right? That type of faith, James said, is dead. That is a dead faith. Look at verse 26 again. For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead. There exists a kind of faith without works, and it's just a dead faith. So I like watching movies. Occasionally I like TV shows. One of the shows that I used to watch was The Walking Dead. Right? It's a zombie show. It's pretty brutally violent. So but it's a good show. It's very well written. And who's watched The Walking Dead? Okay, like this side of the room. Good, not you guys. Right. The Walking Dead is about zombies, right? And zombies, you know, zombies it's a really interesting thing. Zombies, they look like humans. You know, they're physically humans, right? And they walk and they're rotting and corpsing. But they look kind of like humans, but they're not, right? Because they don't have the spirit of God inside of them. They have no spirit, no soul, right? Right? They're animated, they're living in some kind of a weird way, but they have no spirit, right? They're dead, right? And James makes that illustration, just as the body apart from the spirit is dead, right? So is faith without works. It's dead. You know, it's just all talk, all knowledge, and no action. That's, I call it a zombie faith. You know, it looks alive, but it's not. Right? It's like a weird zombie faith. It's a dead faith. It's really not faith at all. To summarize, living faith is sacrificial. Living faith is sacrificial. That was the illustration of Abraham. living faith is courageous. That was the illustration of Rahab. Excuse me. Living faith not only informs us, but it also transforms us, right? It takes the dead and brings it to life. Excuse me. There's a short story, came from the movie Facing the Giants, and I wanted to adapt it a little bit and make it more relevant to our church and our situation today. Okay. So here's the story. It goes like this. There were two churches. I'm adapting it. There are two churches, okay, who were desperately looking for a church building. Okay. Desperately looking for a church building. Both of these churches had outgrown their facility. Okay, both of these churches had been renting for a long time. Both of these churches had been praying to God for years to give them a building. Right? They held prayer meetings, they held prayer chains, they held prayer walks. Right? Both of these churches, they prayed fervently for God to give them a building. But only one of these churches actually did something about it, practically. One of these churches, they saved up money and they slowly allocated money to a building fund, okay, ready for a down payment if the right building came along. This church, they also formed a building committee to, you know, establish and understand and talk about, you know, the needs of the congregation and the specifications for the type of building that they were going to need. This church that actually did something, they also hired agents to go and scout out the market to look for properties. This church authorized its leaders to make an offer if the right building came along. You know? Now, which of these two churches, the one that just prayed and kept on praying, and the other church that actually did something about it, which of these two churches do you actually think trusted God to give them the building? Which church had the real living faith beyond just talk, beyond just words? I hope that church is us. I hope we're not just full of wishful thinking and just trash talk, you know. I hope our faith in God is a living faith, right? Because our God is a living God. Let's pray. Father God, I pray that we would have a living faith, not a zombie faith, not a faith just full of trash talk. Lord, I pray that you would reveal to us ways which we could be sacrificial, ways which we could be courageous, ways we could grow in our faith, in our relationship with you. Lord, works do not save us. Lord, works do not bring us into a relationship with you, but works is an indicator of our relationship with you. So God, I pray that you, for those of us who have a relationship with you, that we would be zealous to do good works so that your light will shine before men. God, I pray that our church as a whole is a church known for its good works, that works actively with our faith. Lord, I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. I will follow. All your will trust in you alone. Higher than my sight, high above my life. I will trust in you alone, in you alone. Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. I will follow you. When you love, I love. And you serve, I serve.
A God that, God, we long to sing to and to worship and praise because you are good. And I pray that, again, we would not be people who put on our church faces, put on our Christian clothes, our Christian persona when we come through these doors on Sundays, but may it be a continuation of the life that we live throughout the week, and that we would just come here to be filled, come here to be encouraged, to worship with other brothers and sisters. But more importantly, God, when we leave these walls, may our faith be evident. Again, not just through words, but may it be backed by action. And that those who would not even hear us speak would know that we have something different about us. And that is the power of your Holy Spirit empowering us to seek to live life like Christ, who sought to love and to bring the gospel to those around them. So God, may we be encouraged by that. May we take these words of this song to heart, that we would follow you in all things. thank you and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You guys can be seated.
Good morning and welcome to ECCSKC. So please look around. If you don't see someone you recognize, please greet them with a smile and a handshake and make them feel welcome. Also, for those who are members, please be back here at 10:45. That's when we're going to have the 10:45, right? Yeah, 10:45. That's when they're going to have the presentation, and then I think we're going to vote. Hold on, let me read this. It's the fourth bullet down in case you guys want to read it too. Okay, so on August 28th, after lunch, we'll be hosting a seminar called Driving with Peace of Mind, 10 Safety Tips That You Have Never Heard from Your Instructor. All members and friends are invited to attend. Please contact Ricky Wong for more details. In case you guys don't know, I do work for the DOL as well, so I think this will be a good opportunity to learn 10 things or 10 safety tips that you have never heard from your instructor or from me. Anyway, thank you.
So, whoa. I'm sorry.
Is that me?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, wake up, right? Again, so be back here at 10:45. We're going to have our congregational vote. We're going to have our very own Deacon Brody to be presenting. Let's pray once again. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for time of worship to be able to just be in your presence. Lord, I pray that we would be a church full of living faith. Lord, a church that is beyond just wishful thinking and nice words and just trash talk. Lord, worthless talk. God, give us living faith. Help us to follow you, Lord, if this is a building that you want us to have, Lord. Pray that we would have the faith to accept it. Just continue to stretch us, to grow our faith. Help us to be sacrificial. Help us to be courageous and bold and to continue to rely on you in all things. We just give you thanks for being our God, a living God, Lord, and we want to have a living faith. And may the love of God the Father and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forever as we live out our faith. Amen. So it's time for a silent prayer, and then we'll have a short break.